am I. Good morning. This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. Young people are very definitely centre stage on today's programme as we dip into the archives once again to take a trip to Kirkbraddon and then come right up to the present day as a very modern teenager shows what being a witness really means. But let's start with a hymn. And as it was St George's Day on Friday and he's the patron saint of England, there surely can only be one choice. Of Wallingford Parish Church in Oxfordshire and Jerusalem. And we dedicate that to everyone who celebrated the Feast of St George on Friday. Is the time to worship from the London Fox Singers with Barbara Shaw, leading us into a time of worship that I actually recorded 14 years ago. But when I listened to it recently while searching through my archive recordings, two things really impressed me. Firstly, its message is still totally relevant today, and equally importantly, the teenagers you're going to hear prepared every single part of the service themselves. So they chose, sang and played the music, chose the Bible readings, prepared reflections and wrote prayers, all to express their own lived experiences of being a young person exploring their Christian faith. So come with me now to Kirkbraddon, to the parish church in the year 2007, at a time when Canon Philip Freer was the vicar and the KB crew used to meet every Sunday night under the leadership of Carolyn and Lloyd Shipstone and with the enthusiastic support of Canon Philip. After the KB crew had prepared an entire evening service, I was invited to record it, and this is that recording. KB crew members taking part were Alexandra Ferrier, Tara Cubbon, Ian Molyneux, Natasha Ferrier, Lana Cubbon, Hannah Corrin, Charlotte Dudgeon, Joe McDonald, Gemma Williams and Nathan Shipstone. And Laura Davenport reflects on a familiar verse from St John's Gospel.
Now, normally you'd expect to see Reverend Freer up here, but he's bravely handed over to the Gay Peeve crew for tonight. Worship is about getting our eyes off ourselves and fixing them on Jesus. The word worship comes from the Anglo-Saxon word worth-ship, and therefore has its roots in a meaning of giving something of worth to God. May I ask you all to join us in giving something of worth to God as we sing.
Reading from Luke chapter 11. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." This is what Jesus said. Please say with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We all, when young, learn the Lord's Prayer, the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. But prayer should be so much more than just saying and repeating this prayer. Prayer can be life-changing.
Sometimes we pray just when we feel like it, when the mood takes us, or when we're told to, like just now. Or when we're in need of something, or worried about something. Many of us, too, seem to have obstacles in our way of praying. We're too busy, we forget. And one of the biggest obstacles is concentration. Our minds wander so easily.
Excuses have been around for such a long time.
If you look back at the famous characters in the Old Testament, we can find loads of excuses. Look at Adam and Eve. There was Adam saying,
"It's all Eve's fault."
Then there was Moses. He said,
"I'm not eloquent enough. Please send somebody else."
And Jonah, who just like a child, said,
"I don't want to."
And then Gideon, he said,
"Nobody is going to listen to me."
And lastly, Jeremiah said,
"I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child."
Those are their excuses to things God asked, and they meant them. It is what they were feeling. In actual fact, they may have been using different words there, but they all mean pretty much the same thing.
Lord,
I'm weak.
I don't have enough faith.
And most of all, Lord,
I'm scared of what you ask.
I expect many of us empathise with some or all of that.
We get scared.
Scared of letting go of control. Scared, concerned and worried of the unknown, the future. We get scared of what other people will think of us. And sometimes it can be scary to put all our trust in God.
Because God can seem so high up, so huge, so important.
And we can feel so weak, so insignificant.
But Jesus tells us, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me."
So trust in God.
Pray to God.
I pray to God, but do we always listen to him? To be honest, I sometimes think I don't give God a chance to get a word in. I have my lists of things I want to bring before God. I fire them out like a shopping list, ticking them off as I go along. I don't often listen to what God is saying to me or give him time to talk to me. And I wonder if that is because I'm sometimes scared of what he's going to say. Is he going to set me some challenge way out of my little comfort zone? Is he going to make me stand up and speak?
Could it be embarrassing?
Will people laugh?
Will no one listen?
I'd like to invite everyone now to sit very quietly. Maybe bring some things that you're anxious about before God. But also, just have some time to sit and feel God's presence around you.
Holding you.
Guiding you.
And leading you into the future.
Before you know.
so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. This is one of the most famous verses in the Bible. The stories of the crucifixion and the resurrection are told over and over, commemorated in every service, mentioned in so many hymns and songs. It is, of course, the central theme of Christianity. But this very fact, the way in which it's repeated, can, in some ways, make it seem something of an everyday event. It can pass into the mundane, the commonplace. However, when we take time to really think about it, if we really consider the meaning of that verse, of what God did for us, it's actually the complete opposite. It's extraordinary. But then, what should we do in response? One of the things that young people growing up in the church today can sometimes misunderstand is what we need to do to make a personal response to God and his great love and great sacrifice. And I speak from experience here. I was christened as a baby and I went to Sunday school. I was confirmed when I was 10 years old. I went to church every Sunday and knew the whole service by heart. And I thought that this was the point of being a Christian. But as the saying goes, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to the garage makes you a car. I hadn't grasped the idea of a personal relationship with God. God seemed so big and so important that even if I had understood this, I wouldn't have thought he'd want one with me. However, I was very lucky to have some wonderful Christian people in my life, and they kept helping me and prodding me in the right direction. 2 years ago, I went to Firestarter, Christian youth festival for people of high school age, and involves 5 days of camping, fun activities, seminars and services. It was an entirely new and fairly scary experience for me, but which opened my eyes to many things. And I finally grasped the idea of a personal relationship with God, and that I needed to respond to his amazing love. And so I gave my life to God, and he gave me his Holy Spirit. So what we have to do is as it says in John 3:16. We have to believe in Jesus and in what he did. But what does this actually mean to you and to me? I hadn't really known what I needed to do in personal response to God when I was younger. The people in the Bible didn't know what to do either. In Acts chapter 2, Peter tells the people all about Jesus. It then says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter's response can be summarized as this: turn, trust, tell out, and take in. When we become a Christian, we make an important choice. We turn away from sin and we turn to Christ. We begin to trust in God. Trusting is something which takes time, but trusting God is well rewarded. Proverbs reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust is an important part of every relationship, and so when we become a Christian, we start to trust in Christ and in his promises. We tell out about our belief. This can be by being baptized or confirmed, announcing our beliefs. Jesus also commanded us to go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. So we should continue telling people about our beliefs, not forcefully or intrusively, but just by telling them gently and quietly when the time is right. We take in the Holy Spirit. Paul writes that we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Our relationship with God grows through the Holy Spirit, our helper in our Christian lives. It's also important that these aren't things that we just do once when we become a Christian. These are things that we must do over and over again. We must constantly make the right choice and turn to God. We also have to work continually on trusting God. These are things that for me, and for every Christian I've spoken to, can be something of a battle. Some days easier than others, but a constant struggle. It annoys me when people give the impression that once you become a Christian, everything is good and easy and wonderful. It's not. Jesus meant it when he spoke of taking up your cross, but it's also worth it. Some of you may have heard in the news about the publication of some letters written by Mother Teresa describing her struggles with her faith. For me, it was reassuring that someone with such a great faith and who lived a life so utterly devoted to God also had her problems with her faith. That she could do such amazing things despite her struggles with her faith helps put my problems in perspective anyway. Telling out is an important part of being a Christian throughout your life. So even the way you behave is part of telling people about Christianity. And finally, we must also take God in on a regular basis. This is through reading the Bible, through going to church and Christian fellowship, and through prayer. It's not about having a faith free of doubts, but about working through those doubts so that we have a faith that is considered, well thought out. We also develop, most importantly, a relationship through God made stronger by these struggles. We can be so disappointed when our prayers aren't answered immediately or how we expect them to be. We may not always get the answer to our prayers that we expect, but this doesn't mean that God isn't listening or that he doesn't care. It's that he doesn't think that giving us what we have asked for is the best thing for us. And God does want what is best for us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future.
Reading from the Book of Kings. The Lord said to Elijah, "Go out and stand before me on top of the mountain." Then the Lord passed by and sent a furious wind that split the hills and shattered the rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. The wind stopped blowing, and then there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a soft whisper of a voice.
Sometimes we may think that God is so strong, God is so mighty, that when he speaks to us, it will sound like a furious wind or a ground-breaking earthquake or a roaring fire. But this is not necessarily so. The prophet Elijah, standing on Mount Sinai, was just looking for God in the wrong places. It was only when he was still and heard the soft whisper of a voice that he heard God speaking. It is really important that as Christians, we take time to stop and listen to God. Sometimes there is just so much noise and so many distractions in our lives. God wants us to take time out and recognize his voice in the quiet places. Lord, open my ears. Let me hear your voice. Lord, open my eyes. Let me see your guiding light. Lord, open my heart. Let me feel your presence forever.
Princes and paupers, sons and daughters, kneel at the throne of grace. Losers and winners, saints and sinners, one day we'll see his face, and we all bow down. Kings will surrender their crowns and worship Jesus, for he is the love, unfailing love. Is the love of God.
And that's where we leave the KB crew of 2007 and a service entirely prepared and delivered in Kirkbraddon by the young people themselves. There was also a strong social side to the KB crew with sports matches, picnics and barbecues. They were also frequently involved in charity and community events and benefited greatly from the leadership of Lloyd and Carolyn Shipstone and the support of their vicar, Canon Philip Freer, who sat with the congregation for the whole of the service but did have the last word.
I was in Southport last week and looked at a church notice board in the centre of Lord Street. And it said something like this: Sunday worship, 9:30, traditional, 11:15, contemporary, 6:30, encountering God. I thought about it. And I thought, well, this seems a little bit strange. If you want 1662, come at 9:30. If you want Graham Kendrick, come at 11:15. If you want to encounter God, come at 6:30. Surely all worship, traditional or otherwise, is about encountering God. We have encountered God tonight. Thank you, KB crew. Thank you, Lloyd and Carolyn. Thank all of you for coming and sharing in this very special occasion. Thank you.
For he is the love, unfailing love. He is the love of God.
So, from young people 14 years ago to a very modern teenager today. Lula Brown has been reading this story in her Bible.
One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3:00 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us, as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. We are witnesses of this."
Now, if Lula Brown had actually been there when that happened, she knows that the very first thing she would have wanted to do when she got home was phone her best friend, Jasmine.
"Jasmine, thank you so much for answering. I just don't know where to start. So you know every time we go into church, right? Mm. There's this guy who sits at the front door.
Oh, yeah.
And no one really knows his name, but he can't walk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's been there since we were kids, right?
Yeah.
Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you're never going to guess what happened. I went to church today, and before the service could even start, these two guys turned up, and he asked them for a sandwich or some money for shelter. Well, I walked past him like normal into the church, and went and sat down in my pew. Yeah, but the next thing I know, there was like shouting and singing from the back of the church. Not very churchy at all, really. So everyone's turning around, and there he is. You know, the beggar who can't walk, but he can walk.
What?
And he's like leaping about like a kid, like singing this old hymn from when he was in school. I didn't know it, but clearly he did. Top of his lungs and everything. And the guy with him, he speaks to everyone before he can say anything. And he tells us that it's Jesus who healed him.
What?
And we could all be witnesses. I don't really know what that means. I just had to tell someone, so I phoned you. Honestly, it's incredible. And it's making me think about the Bible in like a totally different way. If God can do that for someone, what else that the Bible talks about can be true? You know?
Yeah.
I can't unsee what I saw.
Mm.
I've got his voice ringing in my ears.
Okay, yeah.
That look on his face.
Right.
Every moment when everyone turned. It's incredible. Anyway, thanks for chatting. It's been great.
Yeah.
See you at school on Monday.
Bye.
Bye.
Lula Brown showing us what it means to be a real witness to the gospel. And that's almost all that we have time for today. As most of the island's churches are open and ready to welcome you back today, it's time to take a look at our notice board. It's probably a bit late to invite you to services starting at 10:30 today, so we'll begin with some afternoon and evening services. This afternoon in Abbeylands Chapel, Reverend Rebecca Ingruel will lead a service starting at 3:00, and there'll be refreshments afterwards. Three Methodist churches in the south of the island have evening services tonight at 6:30. They're Ballabeg, Ballagherry and the Howe Chapel. And thank you to Mrs. Margaret Newton from The Cool, who emails to tell me that they're having a post-lockdown simple lunch this coming Thursday, the 29th of April, from 12 until 1:30 in The Cool Chapel in Braddon. This'll be the usual homemade soups and desserts at a cost of £7 per person, and the proceeds will be divided between Tear Fund and Motivate Addiction Services. Looking ahead to next weekend and on Saturday, May the 1st, the monthly craft market restarts in Glenmay Chapel and Community Centre, open from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. for homemade produce and handicrafts by local artists. Entry is free and there'll be homemade light lunch, bacon baps, hot drinks and cakes on sale as well. Trinity Methodist Church at Rosemount here in Douglas reopens this morning with a service at 10:30. And in Trinity next Sunday at 10:30, morning service will be led by Reverend Richard Hooton and will include Holy Communion. The Mariners Choir will be resuming their very popular Sunday evening services starting next week. On Sunday, May the 2nd, they'll be in Baldrine Methodist Chapel Hall, when the preacher will be Mrs. Sue Yardie. Start at 6:30 and be followed by supper and community hymn singing. And we end with a little reminder that this programme is also available as a podcast. The At Your Service podcast is available from 7 a.m. each Sunday morning, and it's easy to access via our website, manxradio.com. If you're planning special services and events in your church, do please email me details so I can add them to our notice board here on a Sunday morning and mention them again during sundown each Sunday night. My email address is judithleigh@manxradio.com, and that's also the email address to use if you'd like to choose a favourite hymn for a future programme. Or, if you prefer, you can write to me here at Manx Radio, P.O. Box 1368, Douglas IM 991SW. I'll be back tonight at 9 with Sundown. But for now, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed, safe and peaceful week, and a very good morning. Manx Radio.